So, hi, there are a couple of things I wanted to talk about. One was that I asked for some feedback about two possible titles for the book, and the overwhelming favorite was Rise and Shine. So that was great until I realized that I'd actually already entitled another book on goal setting using that title. So that was an oops moment. So anyway, I'm going to be digging around for a new title, and I'm currently considering Make Your Bed. I know it sounds kind of weird, but it makes more sense if you read the book, which will be available at some point. So now, where we were in the last reading was that Snap had just given Truman his take on gratitude. So we'll now do the formal details for gratitude. So leg number four, gratitude. Gratitude is the antidote for envy, self-pity, and depression. Its benefit is that it's uplifting. It lifts the heart. The feeling is joyful. It heals the mind. And the breathing and expression is breathing in with the in this moment, and then exhaling, I am grateful. In this moment, I am receiving. In this moment, I am kind. And then it's thank you. Now, at the end of each of those ones, I say a little statement. So let me just explain how this works. This is just like a little reminder of the four different legs. The four different legs can be actually looked at as be still, that's meditation, heart to heart, that's compassion, let it go, that's forgiveness, and thank you, that's gratitude. So it's be still, heart to heart, let it go, and thank you. Okay, so continuing on with the reading. Truman awoke to Blossom standing over him with a jacket and harness. Blossom was a woman who knew how to sew and had made him a new blue jacket. Truman thought it was ridiculous, but when he got outside in the cold, he was grateful for the added warmth. What was that? Did he say he was grateful? As he walked beside Blossom, he couldn't help but notice that many of the humans walking past appeared to be in various states of distress. Some were obviously angry, others, their eyes down, looked depressed, or they were vacantly staring at their phones. Stress showed on many faces. As a human, Truman had barely noticed because he was generally running his own negative thoughts, so what others were experiencing was lost on him. He decided to try something. As each person approached, he began to wag his tail. The movement of his tail caught their eye and caused them to look at him. At that point, because of his comical face, many of them had an immediate change in their emotional state. Their face broke into a smile, or they stopped and talked to Blossom, asking her questions. What kind of dog was he? How old was he? Wasn't he the same dog as the one in that movie? You know, the one with Jack Nicholson? Blossom, who had in the past been a solitary, withdrawn woman, was, to her surprise, becoming more social. It was because of the dog. People stopped and talked to her, particularly other dog owners. She enjoyed these brief conversations, and while she was chatting, Truman had time to pick up the messages left for him by his mentors. Alphonse left a message on a picket fence asking if Truman was doing his meditation regularly. Truman left a response stating that although he wasn't in any way proficient in the art of meditation, he was working at it. Daisy had left three or four different messages near bushes and telephone poles, just reminding him not to judge too harshly the humans who passed by. She indicated that many of them had serious challenges that they were dealing with and just needed a little compassion and understanding or love. And she hoped he would be willing to share some joy to lighten their load. She signed off with little heart-shaped scratched into the dirt, typical Daisy. Kittimus's messages were by far the most fragrant. Katz left rather pungent notes, mostly on patches of grass. She reminded him that forgiveness, like charity, begins at home, that Truman must take the time and effort to forgive himself, or he'd never be able to forgive anyone else. And Snap, who wasn't big on long-winded dissertations, left thank you notes along the way. It made Truman's walk all the more enjoyable, and he felt grateful again for the reminders. All in all, walking was quite refreshing, and because he had never been much of a walker in his previous incarnation, the exercise lifted his mood significantly. The party. Because Blossom was now regularly taking walks through the neighborhood with Truman, she had begun to develop a beginning of some new friendships. One of the women, who had a large backyard, invited her to bring Bubbles to an afternoon dog party with a few other owners and their dogs. Blossom was delighted. Not only would Bubbles have a chance to socialize, but she would too. And as luck would have it, the sky was blue and the sun shone, a hint that spring was on its way. Truman was not as excited about the gathering as Blossom. He had never been fond of parties when he was a human and wasn't convinced that a dog party was going to be any different. The thought of wandering around with a group of unfamiliar dogs all sniffing each other's butt end was not exactly appealing. What if they had absolutely nothing in common other than being dogs? What if other dogs didn't like him? What if they were all older than he was, which wouldn't be hard as he was only a puppy? What if they didn't take him seriously? What if there was a fight? By the time he and Blossom got to the neighbor's house, his tail was tucked between his legs and he was dragging his back paws. Imagine his surprise when he discovered that the party was attended by none other than his four mentors, Alphonse, Daisy, Kittimus, and Snap. But how could that be? Daisy was the first to welcome him, gently sniffing him. "Well, it looks like we have a quorum," said Alphonse. "A quorum," said Truman. "Yes, when we need to have a conference, we organize our so-called owners, telepathically informing them of their need for a dog party. Otherwise, it would be too hit or miss. And today is important. We have some last-minute tying up to do vis-a-vis the four legs, and then you'll be moving on." "Moving on?" asked Truman. "Where?" "We don't want to spoil the surprise," said Snap. "Besides, we have to run around now, play for a while in order that the humans don't get suspicious. They'll throw a ball, we'll chase it, pretending we find the activity fascinating. They'll be happy, we'll get some exercise. It's your basic win-win activity. Except for Kittimus, who refuses to chase balls, says it's not a cat thing, so she'll just stretch out in the sun and act superior." "I am superior," hissed Kittimus, eyeing a robin perched on a nearby branch. "You leave that little bird alone," said Daisy, barking loudly, which caused the robin to fly away. "Spoil sport," hissed Kittimus. And so Truman ran around with his mentors, chasing the ball, chasing each other, tumbling, barking, and basically having fun. When they'd satisfied the humans, who were happily gossiping over hot cider, the dogs and one cat slumped in a loose circle and got down to business. Alphonse, who was a natural leader, although not according to Kittimus, led the meeting. "All right," said Alphonse, "let's do a quick review. The four legs, which comprise your spiritual survival kit, are meditation, compassion, forgiveness, and gratitude. If you or anyone else were to integrate these four legs into their life would be transformed. It's as simple as that." "You may have noticed," said Alphonse, "that the flow of breath moves in a unique pattern. The first movement of the breath comes down from above the universe. It moves through the heart and continues downward deep into the earth below. The second movement rises from the center of the earth, passing through the heart and then moving outward at a 90-degree angle, so it moves straight out in front of you. The third leg pulls the breath from in front of you, again passing through the heart and then continuing straight back behind you. And the last leg returns from behind, passing through the heart, then veering 90 degrees straight upward, back to the universe, high above your head. You may have noticed that each of the four leg inhalations move to and then through the heart. There's a reason for this. The heart is the center of everything. It's the center of the body, the center of the four legs, the center of love. Love encompasses the four legs, which are all simply manifestations of love. You'll be learning more about this later. If you follow the pattern created by breathing in this manner, you will discover that the design formed is that of a cross. But it's not the cross that's such a heavy human symbol, the cross of crucifixion, or the cross that is used to mark death. Rather, it is the cross of life with the heart at its center. At which point Daisy interrupted, "Now, Truman, you are free to use the legs in any order, in any way you feel is needed in any given situation. For example, when meditating, you may want to keep the breath moving from above through the heart and down into the earth repeatedly. In other words, you stay on one simple plane or direction, up and down. You might choose only one of the three words, the one that's most appropriate for your situation, such as, inhale in this moment, exhale, I am safe. But if you found yourself faced with a difficult person, you might choose the direction used for compassion, pulling the energy from deep within the earth up to the heart and then sending the exhalation and compassionate feelings to that person. Or you might want to send compassion when you hear bad news from anywhere in the world, the place of unrest, such as a site of war. There are many places to send your compassion. Or, said Kittimus, pull the breath from way in front of you through the heart and blow it out your back. That's the path of forgiveness, like you pull the resentment that's poisoning your heart from whoever you feel has hurt or betrayed you, clean it up in the heart, and then move it out. It's like super freeing. Of course, my favorite word is forgiven, like in this moment, I am forgiven. Yes, yes, Kittimus, we know how much you like that word, said Snap. Now, Truman, at any time, you can move the energy of gratitude into your heart and send it upward. You know when you see someone lift their eyes and say, thank heaven? It's like that. It carries with it a sense of relief, of gratitude. It's uplifting. It's the best leg, just my opinion, of course. The three other mentors rolled their eyes. Oh, and one last thing, said Alphonse. After you have reached a level of comfort with the wording of the four legs, you might choose to do the breathing without any words at all. I'm not sure I understand, said Truman. Well, you might choose to do the breathing in complete silence. One of the reasons for using words or affirmations is because they keep out any chatter that might come into your mind. As you know, what runs around in the mind can be very distracting. So, when you're comfortable with the words and have slowed down a little, you might want to try just breathing. For meditation, you just breathe into the heart from above and then down into the earth. For compassion, up from the earth into the heart and then outward. You get the drift? Give yourself time to become familiar with the words first. Don't jump the gun. Patience, Truman, patience. It took me months to feel comfortable with the words and the concepts they encompassed. Don't rush things. So, and I would say that to you as well, the listener to my readings, is don't rush things. Really take your time. And that's it for this week. So have a creative week, and we'll be talking to you next week.